We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's your True Faith Newcastle United podcast immediately after Newcastle have drawn 0-0 with Leeds United at home in the Premier League. Soaking wet day at St James's Park. Not a great game. I'm Alex. You've got Si, Adam and Kyle to talk you through what happened and why. Just a reminder, for even more reaction and lots of previewing of the Arsenal game, join us on Patreon from £3 a month. We'd love to have you along with us. Si, that was not one of the good days, was it?
Shite. Really shite. Compared to how I felt going into this game, it's probably the most disappointing I could be, because I really thought we'd just come and do a job on Leeds. New Year's Eve, Leeds at home. It had everything to be a brilliant day for Newcastle fans. And yeah, the rain, the football, the referee, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and just a generally quite frustrating game, both in terms of Newcastle's performance, the way Leeds approached the game, and the way it played out. It was all just very, very annoying. I'm annoyed, which I've got to count my blessings. It's the first time I've been annoyed this season, but I'm annoyed.
Annoyed is one feeling, Adam. How do you see it, mate?
I'm also frustrated and annoyed. I think we weren't at our best. Our delivery was poor. Our finishing was poor all game. And I think, yeah, the conditions made it difficult. I also thought the referee enabled Leeds to yes. The thing is, the referee needs to make the game flow. I like that about referees, but I think when you're also not giving fouls that should be fouls and not giving yellow cards that should be fouls, that tension builds up, the aggression and the injustice builds up, and that's why it all kind of kicked off at the end, in my view. But Newcastle should have been a better version of themselves today. Yes, the rain made it a bit difficult, but I thought the crowd was in good voice. I thought, certainly from the second half, there was only one team who was out looking to win the football match. Our finishing just wasn't there tonight, and lots of poor delivery into the box, too close to Melier, and it just didn't work for us. But if we're this frustrated and we've still got a point and a clean sheet, it just kind of shows how far we've come. You know, an annoying, frustrating game is still a point, it's still progress, it's still a clean sheet. There are positives to take from it, but this will feel, especially given that Man City drew, like a wasted opportunity.
Kyle, I know you want to talk about the referee, so let's just do it, mate. Let's just give it both barrels.
I think it'll be a mixture of all three. We're talking about the referee, but he was fucking useless today, wasn't he? Like, he just strangled the game to death. There was just basic fouls. He just didn't get the... It just completely enabled Leeds to have the game plan that they had, which was to sit behind and get a point and play every dirty trick in the book. He enabled all of that, and it just adds to the frustration, because I think it's just so frustrating, because how many times have we sat on these podcasts this season and spoke about how shit referees are this season for us? Like, it just seems continuous. It's just some consistency would be nice from these referees, and today just tops it all off. They were better when they were part-time, is something I got told next to us, is what someone was shouting at the referee with, but it was just, honestly, it was just a frustrating afternoon all around.
Do you think, though, that a different referee produces a different result there?
That's a good question. I mean, I think there'd be more freedom in the game if, like, the referee allowed to breathe a little bit more, and obviously that opens up opportunity and stuff like that. And I don't want to blame it all on the referee that we didn't win today. I mean, Sean Longstaff had two very good chances. Botman had a sitter. Chris Wood had a sitter. Like, we had chances in this game to win it, even though Leeds were very frustrating. And we could have been sitting here 3-0, 4-0 winners, no problem. But, like, yeah, it just, the referee completely strangled the game. But we didn't take our chances at the same time.
My grievance with the referee, first of all, he's the perfect referee. The way Leeds wanted to play today, they couldn't have handpicked a referee who was going to stop the game at every opportunity, but not punish them. So that he didn't get his yellow. The fact Kieran Trippier was the first yellow card obviously enraged Trippier, because he was saying to the referee, you have let this go all over the pitch. And it's almost like the referee got to a point, I'm going to give 10 fouls, and then the 11th one's a yellow card.
Regardless of who it is.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the issue. Leeds wanted to stop. Leeds didn't want the ball to be an open play. They wanted continual stoppages, and they got that, and they got a referee who was more than willing to allow them to you know, slow the game down. And then second half, when he did get his yellow card out, the amount of times that Leeds were able to kick the ball away, were able to, you know, just Leeds were winning free kicks in our final third, and we're still time wasting. You know, I don't want to get too bogged down into the kind of fuck Leeds thing, because Leeds are a really poor team. They're really bad at football. They've come and got a really, really good point at the top six side away from home. Credit to them. A point is fantastic for Leeds today, particularly within the context of their fixture list, where they are in the league. It's pointless getting upset about Leeds being negative, because not so long ago, that was us.
Yeah.
That's football. That, you know, football has got loads of systemic issues, which may mean it is the way it is, where only certain teams can play good football and do good things. Leeds aren't one of them. It's fine for them to play like they did. The referee allowed them to ruin that game, and that's on him. Having said that, I agree with you, Kyle. You know, in terms of what I'm concerned about, or not concerned, it's Newcastle's performance. Still had 16 shots, still had 5 on target. Funnily enough, it was the ones off target that were our best chances. We only allowed Leeds one shot on target. It's kind of classic us. It was a good shot. It was a good save from Nick Pope, but it's another game where Nick Pope is almost redundant. So there's not too much to get upset about from a Newcastle perspective. And just to talk context a little bit, I'll come to you, Adam. I really do feel that, you know, the Arsenal playing now, they're 1-0 up. It'll be frustrating because they're going to pull even further in front. And I think we should be frustrated about that. Got people in my mentions having a go at me saying, you know, told you we weren't title contenders. All right, congratulations. Well done. How do you feel? Do you feel good that Newcastle have dropped points at home to Leeds? It's frustrating because Arsenal are going to pull further ahead of us. We'll play them Tuesday. But I still think 4 points from 2 Adams decent. Until you look at Leicester away, you look at Leeds at home. Yeah, we all want 6 points. Who doesn't? But 4 points is pretty good, is it not?
No, I think if you look at it that way, Alex, you're right. You know, if you swap those results around a draw away in form Leicester and a 3-0 hammering at home to Leeds, everyone's buzzing and the feel-good factor remains. I think because of today, it felt at the end of what has been an absolutely wonderful 365 days of supporting Newcastle United in 2022, it's been superb. It kind of felt anticlimactic. I think that's what it was. And, you know, the weather kind of dampened things, but it is a missed opportunity. You know, you mentioned the fact that we had, you know, 16 shots, 5 on target. We had 7 what opt to regard as 7 big chances. And it felt like every time, Leeds had none, by the way, it felt like every time that we had the ball and had shots, because as Kyle mentioned, you know, a couple of the defenders had shots around the penalty box in the 6-yard area. Every time we were there, we just failed to get any kind of purchase or power on it. We just needed somebody to lash it. And I remember in the first half, I remember Joe Linton just deciding that, to absolutely welly it. It got blocked down. It got charged down after about 25 yards out, but it kind of looked like it was going. It was traveling. And I kind of think, thank you. Somebody's finally just putting their foot through it and let's test the goalkeeper. And we just didn't do enough of that. The only testing of the goalkeeper we did was Trippier's high hanging, predictable crosses in. He's usually superb at his craft. And today he wasn't on it. And, you know, we had 23 crosses today, and I guarantee that Melier probably collected at least sort of 15, 16, 17 of them. We were not good enough. And that's what, you know, that's what Eddie wants us to do. He wants us to get the ball out wide. He wants us to get balls into the box and to cause defenders problems and ask them questions. And we just didn't have that final touch. But you're right, there are positives to take there, because if we play that game again, maybe in better conditions, maybe with a different referee who punishes that gamesmanship that really got the better of us, I think, a lot of it. Leeds kind of seemed to win that kind of psychological battle a bit. And then, as I mentioned, the second half, they sat in, low block, and it kind of became like the Carabao Cup game on Tuesday night. We were all around the box, but we couldn't find a way through. We couldn't find a way to unlock them. And when it came to the crescendo of the match, we had Miggy Almiron, who I believe was one of the best players on the pitch for us, who looked like he was going to be the main man to make something happen. He got pulled off for the last 10 minutes, and I just felt that at that moment, I couldn't see us scoring after that. It was a frustrating night, but it's still a point, it's still a clean sheet, and we're still in the top four of the Premier League.
We'll break there for the end of part one. We're going to leave you with some adverts. If you don't want to listen to the adverts, you could join us on Patreon for £3 a month for all of these free podcasts without the ads. Back after these.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Si, there's always reasons when your team doesn't win to look at why it didn't win, what could have been done better. In the ground, a lot of the ire, I'm not pointing fingers here, from myself as well as thousands of others, was really pushed towards two players today, but particularly Sean Longstaff. Do you think that's reasonable and fair, or do you think it's just typical that everyone needs a scapegoat and those were the lads today to get it?
I'm going to sit on the fence a little bit. I was equally frustrated with Sean Longstaff today. For the same reasons we were frustrated with Dan Byrne against Bournemouth. These players you don't need in a game like that. When you've got a team of Leeds who just did exactly what Bournemouth did, 11 men behind the ball every time we had it, closing down the space, giving us no room to get forward. And actually, they weren't playing narrow. They were playing quite wide and giving us very little space out on the wings, as you said, Adam. That's how we like to play. We like to get Miggy and Trippier overlapping each other. And on the left, we had Joe Linton and Willock sort of trying. Because Dan Byrne sat on the halfway line, it's just down to the two of them to try and beat three players, and it didn't come off very often. Miggy looked like the only one to really get in behind and get us in the box. For the same reason, because we were playing, being forced kind of back inside almost, you need someone better than Longstaff in that midfield three, because I thought he didn't really offer us anything. He's slow on the ball, his passing's a bit wayward, and he was given two gilt-edged chances, like you say, Cal, and he's got to do better. Like when the chance falls to you, the pressure's on there, I get it, but you've got to score. Well, I think the second one, he's got Chris Wood running around him as well. It's like, if you're going to take a shot, it's got to be on target. Otherwise, let it go on to Wood, who's a centre forward, and he's probably going to score. He didn't either, and he took the shot. And then later on in the game, I think Miggy's off by this point. He gets another chance where we're about 5-on-4. And because he's missed those two shots, he then panics about what to do. He doesn't take a shot when he probably could take a shot. He's got Trippier, I think, overlapping, or maybe Murphy, I suppose, don't pass to Murphy, but... He just sort of fluffs it. He plays a stupid little pass inside straight to the defender. It's really, really frustrating.
Do you think there's something in that? Because I noticed there was a counter-attack we had in the first half, and it was possibly Joe Willock running through, and you kind of think, Wood's there in the middle. Wood's there. Just give it to him. I wonder if that's Wilson, does he just get the ball straight away? Is there hesitation when there's some of the, you know, like a Murphy and a Wood? And maybe footballers will tell us, no. Like, we will just pass to whoever's in the best space. We won't consider the talent of that person. But I don't know. Maybe you're right, Alex. Maybe it is just us trying to overthink why we haven't won this game, why we haven't, because margins are so fine. But you're right. If Longstaff's made some poor decisions in front of goal with the way he struck the ball and when he's not decided to not shoot, when we carved out an opportunity with a minute of time left, just have a go. Longstaff can score from outside the box. We've seen it before. And because his confidence was so shot, he tried to pass it in, we're trying to walk it in, and it was never going to work because it was too congested in that box. Leeds had already just got bodies behind. They were settled with a draw. They were happy with that draw at that point. And the chance goes begging. But yeah, Longstaff's always been a little bit limited. But I thought his endeavour was good today, as it usually is, and he was everywhere. But it's just sometimes that technical quality, that technical ability, it just is lacking a bit.
Yeah, frustrating today. Absolutely, I don't question his work rate. I thought he still worked very hard, but he didn't need to. Like Leeds were just boxing themselves back in their own half and making it really difficult. And you need. If we want to get in the Champions League, which is where my mindset is here, you know, I'm not being too ambitious by saying that we need better players for the ambitions we have. I just think that he was too slow to move the ball, decision making, and then yeah, the shooting was poor. But I think the other scapegoat you're probably talking about, Dodds, was Chris Wood as well.
Yeah, tell you what, we'll come back though, because I want to get Kyle's thoughts on Longstaff, okay. And I'll say some stuff, but we'll come back to you for Wood.
I think for Sean, as Adam says, like bang on, like. In terms of his work ethic and stuff like that, he was great today defensively, as he usually has been. But I think it's been a couple of times this season where Sean's played, where we've been against like Crystal Palace or Bournemouth or a game today, like where it comes down to the technical ability of Sean Longstaff to try and open up a defence or have that killer pass. And like Sean's great at running around and covering the yards, but when it comes down to the final third, when it comes down to the killer pass, you look at the other top six teams, which we are in comparison to at the moment, and they have that killer player in terms of a pass all around their midfield, whereas we don't. You look at Longstaff and great off the ball, but on it, like, it's almost like Leeds' plan was to give him the ball because they know he's not going to do anything with it, kind of thing. And his chances, like the one where it nearly hit Harry Kane's ball, like it was just a frustrating afternoon. But like, I'm not going to be too hard on Sean because I think in like games where we're up against it, or away games in particular, he seems to be excellent because teams kind of handle the amount of movement he has in and around the field, but games where teams are putting 10 behind the ball, he's just not ready for that type of team. He doesn't know how to play against that type of team. It's why we need more options, I think.
I think you've nailed it there. It's not really about today, and it's not about skying the shot. Yeah, it's frustrating, and the things we talk about. Newcastle, like Adam has said, created enough positive opportunities in the penalty area to win the game. They didn't take any of them, and Sean Longstaff was far from the only culprit. I think it's a broader topic for me, and I didn't do the post-Bournemouth Cup podcast because I was unwell, but my conversations on WhatsApp watching the game from home that night were Dan Byrne, Sean Longstaff, this isn't the game for them. And Longstaff really struggled against Bournemouth that night, exact same problems. It's when he has to play kind of a lot of the game, and he played a lot of the second half around the edge, the edge of the Bournemouth or the Leeds penalty area, his limitations are laid bare because you have to be so technically good under such pressure. And Willock is, and Bruno is, and Jonjo Shelvey, who's injured, is, and Joe Linton is, and Longstaff isn't. And when you talk about getting better moving forward, I think that his position's under threat. Having said that, I don't think anyone drops him for Arsenal. Well, I'll probably drop him for Arsenal, but most fans wouldn't drop him for Arsenal. But that's not because of him. That's because I want to see Joe Linton playing in the midfield, and I want to see Willock playing, and Longstaff would drop out. Not because that would have happened today if we'd won 2-0. But it is just a question of technical ability. He just doesn't have the close control and the little flicks and the 1-2 passes and all of that that his teammates and his colleagues do. Like I think it was you said, Si, or one of you said, or you, Kyle, you know, his strengths are there and are beneficial to the side. He's just played every single game when Newcastle have won 6 Premier League games in a row. He's had an off day today, and it looks worse because he probably, like Stan, you listed those chances there. I thought actually the worst one, that one he skies, is frustrating, but it's kind of like it comes at him so fast. It's blah, blah, blah. That one where right at the end of the game, Newcastle players are queuing up and he hangs on and he hangs on and he hangs on. That's kind of a, you know, at this level, you have to be better than that. But Newcastle are third in the league, and he's been an integral part of that. So I'm going to forgive him for an off day today. Let's say Chris Wood instead, Si.
Yeah, I was probably more frustrated with Chris Wood, certainly for the 60 or so minutes he played. Like, I was just wondering what is his contribution today? What's he meant to be doing? Because it didn't seem like to be an awful lot. He wasn't kind of hanging on the last defender. He wasn't winning anything in the air. When he was coming short for it, his touch was really, really frustrating, really loose. He wasn't popping it off to Bruni. He wasn't popping it off to Willock. He just kind of ran around having a really tough time. And yeah, it's always hard when you're the only centre forward against 2 centre halves. You're very good, Koch and Cooper.
Yeah.
For Leeds, you know, they're pretty much handled Wood. Again, I think this is the reason they deliberately played a bit of a wider back four, because they knew that threats were going to be down the wing from us, and they kind of nullified Miggy as best they could. I thought Miggy still played really well. Joe Linton and Willock had 1 or 2 chances, but didn't really offer much. And they almost let Chris Wood just hover around the middle doing nout, because he did nout. Like, can anyone tell me what Chris Wood did for us today? And again, I don't want to get really harsh with him, but that game at half time, I was sitting there thinking, we need Target on, we need Maxi on, and we need Wilson on. And that doesn't say a lot of good about the players I'm asking to be taken off.
Thoughts on Chris Wood, Adam?
Look, the way you've got to look at Chris Wood is he is a really good third choice Premier League striker to have in a squad. His attitude's superb. He does a job when it's asked of him, but yeah, he's limited. It's the same as Longstaff. When it comes to these crunch moments, when margins are so fine, when all it takes is, you know, an extra touch or whatever it's going to be to win a football match. Yeah, he's not quite there. For his chance in the first half, he did the difficult thing superbly. He made it look so easy to chest it past the goalkeeper. And then when it came to the actual finish, fluffed it. Completely didn't go anywhere near that. And that's the difference. I think when you've got someone who's more mobile, more technically gifted, then we play in a different way. We're a lot more fluid, I think, in the final third. I think Wood, his mobility isn't great. He is a bit wooden, like, if you want to go there. But let's bring it back, because, as I said with Kieran Trippier, I've got stats on his crossing from today. He attempted 19 crosses today. 5 were successful. And for Kieran Trippier, for a player of his ability, that's not good enough. Having said that, and how crazy this game is, Kieran Trippier still created 6 chances today, which is 4 more than anybody on the pitch. So even a bad game for Kieran Trippier, he's the most creative on the pitch, and he's got a clean sheet at the other end. So it's frustrating, but yeah, maybe we could argue Wood didn't necessarily get the service that we could give him, because if he is that limited, maybe there's only so many ways that we can give the ball to him in a useful position that he could do something with. But it's kind of on. He is holding the fort until Wilson gets back in the side, Isak's to come back. Once they're both fit, which, you know, we don't know whether both of those strikers are going to be fit at any one time till the end of the season. I think he's a canny player to have around the squad, and he's clearly a good guy and a popular guy. So there's that. But when it comes to ability, yeah, it's not the best, but he's still our third choice striker. That's what we have to remember.
What frustrates me, mate, and I agree on the third choice striker thing, I think people sometimes overplay his performances, but that's all right. It doesn't fucking mean anything. If people say he's better than he is, it's all right. I just want to win a header. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just want to win a header or win a free kick. I just feel like Leeds' centre-backs today had a lovely time against him. Yeah. So easy to play against in the air. There was 1 or 2 nice moments where we linked up play, first-time passes, but there were also 1 or 2 really bad moments. And I kind of feel like, in my head, we'd signed Hosolu. You know, in 2017, what did Hosolu do? We came in and he won like every header. Yeah. Didn't go to anyone, but he won the header. and he won the odd free kick, and he fucking, like, you know, he bagged like five goals a season or something. You know, we don't even have that. I'm talking from open play, and Hosslew did take one penalty, which was the worst penalty I've ever seen against Burnley. But that's what I thought we were getting. Maybe a bit better than that. And I almost feel I wish that's what we had, because today I just feel like give Leeds a centre back a game, mate. Like, it was so easy for them to take the ball off him, and he's playing up front by himself, and there isn't, you know, there aren't that many players close to him at times. But yeah, he's third choice striker. No one was in bigger opposition than the ASM up front, which Bruce tried, and then Howe did at the end of last season. But you know, could it be any work? Could it be any worse? And yeah, hey, if we win a pen, Chris Wood's your man. You know,
I think it's the wrong comparison, Alex. I think you compare him to Schola more so than Joslo, because I'd trust Schola with absolutely nothing, barring a penalty. He was great at penalties, shit at everything else, and I feel like that's Chris Wood. He just didn't put himself about today. He usually makes himself a bit of a hassle for defenders and charges down, but he just didn't offer any of that today. And I know he's a third choice striker and stuff, but for a player that was signed for 25 million from a lower Premier League side in Burnley at the time, like, you'd expect Chris Wood to be one of the difference makers in them type of games, because against Koch and Cooper, bit of a tongue twister, but against those two types of defenders, them are types of games I'd expect Chris Wood to make a difference in, because they're not very good defenders. They're big defenders, but someone like Chris Wood should be trying to bully them, do you know what I mean? And like, he just was so below par today.
He looked very leggy, didn't he? He looked like he'd played on Monday and hadn't recovered from Monday. Like,
you know, 6 days ago, man. Yeah, do you know what
he's mean? A 31-year-old striker. He's not played much football this season, but he didn't look at all ready for this game.
And in addition, Sam, please erase that. The fucking conversation going into this one was that Leeds had 2 days less to prepare.
Yeah, yeah. Frustrating.
It's all bullshit, isn't it? It really means nout. The professional footballers who can deal with 2 games in 5 days, unless they're Chris Wood. Adam, give us some positives, please.
I really like Joe Linton today. I thought he was absolutely class. I thought it was the deftness of his touches. He would almost like pass the ball for like a yard and then run around the defender, go get it. He was megging people. It was his intricate triangles in difficult situations, using his physicality, having the confidence to, I'm not going to cut back, I'm going to drive forward, even though I've got a guy hanging off my shoulder. I absolutely love that proactivity from him, and he's just such a good link-up. And do you know what, that chance he had in the first half where Melier was off his line, he was sort of about 7-8 yards off his line, and I just thought, oh, just clip it over his head, just have a little chip. And but it's easy to say that in hindsight and when you're not in the moment. But Joe Linton really impressed me today. I think he was absolutely one of our, alongside Miggy, was best player on the pitch for me, and I was excited every time he got on the ball, and he barely put a foot wrong for me. I think I thought he was excellent. He was everywhere. He was his unplayable self. He's huge. He's difficult to get the ball off. But yeah, it was the deftness of touch, I think, that particularly impressed me today. From, you know, good touch for a big lad, you know. But yeah, I think if other players had been playing as well as Joe Linton today, I think we would have won comfortably, sort of 2-0. I think his level was above a lot of other players on that pitch.
Kyle, question for you. And this isn't the Arsenal preview, which is available for patrons, or will be. I thought Joe Linton was miles better when he moved back. I thought he was the best player on the pitch when he moved back in the midfield. And yeah, he wins a pen and scores a goal on Monday, though the goal set piece, he probably still scores that goal. He probably doesn't win the pen, though. What do you think Howe does? Like, we're talking about Longstaff. My view is you've got to get Willock in the team, play him right, play Joe Linton left, play ASM. What do you want to see happen?
I think Howe will keep it the same, to be honest. I think the only change that he'll make is Chris Wood coming out. But I think the little intertwining that they keep doing between Willock and Joe Linton is good, because they offer something different. You've got the pace of Willock and get in behind, but Joe Linton's proven today, like, if full pace, he can't be stopped. He's a bit like a juggernaut. When Yaya Toure used to run at defenders, like nobody could. They used to rugby tackle him off the ball because he was like that. He couldn't be stopped. It felt like that the day in bits, and there's been podcasts in the past where we've spoken about Joe Linton not having the technical ability or whatever it may be, but he's definitely. He's definitely improved that side of his game. He's definitely more technically rounded than he has been in previous years, for sure. But I think he will keep it the same because a lot of teams haven't figured it out yet. And we still had some joy on that side in the first half. It just wasn't a day at the races, I don't think. But I think Joe Linton and Willock playing like a hybrid between like intertwined between each other for those two positions seems to work at the minute.
Any other positives, lads?
Well, I agree with your potential lineup for Arsenal. I think I would give Maximan a start to get Joe Linton back in that midfield. I agree with what you're saying, Kyle. He's offered something there, and he showed us that he can play that role against lesser teams at St James's Park. And I'm not saying he shouldn't play it again, but I don't know. I think if we want to try and catch Arsenal off guard a little bit, play Maxi. I thought he did enough in his cameo today to remind us what he's capable of. Twice he was given the ball one-on-one with the right back, who they took off Luke Ayling because he was on a yellow card and they were just terrified of what Maxi might do to him. So they put on this other kid, I don't know who he is, but he played right back. And Maxi skinned him twice and he got to the byline and he made something happen. We barely got the ball to him after that point because, you know, they doubled up on him and made it difficult. But this was Leeds, who were doing everything to kind of see out the game at that point. Maximan from the start, if he's fit enough to do it, I think offers us something. I think he really does. He gives us a bit more balance. He takes some of the pressure off Miggy to create everything. And I really think you want Joe Linton in midfield against Odegaard on Tuesday. So Maxi, for me, was a big positive tonight.
What I really liked about Maxi today was his decision making, because he'd do his, you know, he'd do his trickery, that individual ability to beat a man. He had four successful take-ons today, which was two more, twice as much as anybody else on the pitch all game. And he was only on for the sub at the end. But it was, he would do a bit of trickery, but then he would find Dan Burn. He would find Joe Linton with a simple pass. And I think that's the coaching of Eddie Howe. I think that's getting Sam Maximan to think about the team, to think about how his individual brilliance at times, and when he's on it, he's unstoppable. But it's how we can use that to help the rest of the team. There was one point in the second half where he did some excellent trickery. I think he maybe got a bit of a battering, but because he got the ball out of his feet and we were able to spread the ball to switch it to the other wing up to Trippier in seconds. And that was down to Sam Maximan being able to get the ball out. And I think a Sam Maximan of, you know, maybe 6 months ago doesn't do that. He tries to win it. He tries to win the game on his own. He tries to show everyone what he's capable of. But actually, it's more impressive when he can just keep it simple and integrate with this team, because that's what he's going to have to do to stay in an Eddie Howe side. But I agree with Si. I think his cameo today showed a much more positive, mature performance from Sam Maximan. And I wouldn't begrudge him a start against Arsenal. But then you think, who comes? Does Willock come out? Because I think that would feel quite harsh on Willock. I don't think he would keep Willock, Bruno and Joe Linton necessarily. I don't know.
I think you'll keep it the same. I'm with Kyle. You know, Newcastle, he's been playing this way. You know, we haven't lost a game since August. It's many, many wins in the last 10 games. 6 out of 7, he probably just won't change it. I would change it, but I think he'll stay loyal to that midfield and keep Joe Linton further up. Time will tell. I suppose, again, for me, it's a positive. It's another clean sheet. Leeds didn't look like scoring today. Pope's made one save. I don't know if I said in this podcast the instant reaction. It reminded me a lot of the Everton game, where we created very little, but kind of dominated the game and were worthy winners. If we'd won 1-0 today, it would have been identical. I thought Leeds copied Everton's game plan. A lot of long balls there, a lot of back to front very quickly, a lot of just get the fucking ball in their half of the pitch and they can't score. They didn't sit insanely deep for the first 70 minutes. They just made the middle of the pitch an absolute war zone. And Bruno Guimarães got very little time on the ball to try and string passes. That's going to happen. We have to find ways to do better. Because, again, that Everton game, and Everton are shit as well as Leeds, it's kind of one moment from Miggy, that wins it type thing, and that's what we're relying on a little bit. But that's fine. You can't win them all. I'm not going to walk home after this feeling despondent or disappointed. Newcastle are ending 2022. They started 2022 in 19th. They're ending it in third place. That's okay. I'll take it. That'll do for me.
Just okay.
Yeah, it'll do for me. True fucking win the league.
Room
man.
For improvement, yes.
And we will be back after Arsenal. I think we're going to do another one of these instant kind of podcasts just because of the way that the games come at the minute, thick and fast. Can't believe this time next week we'll be 7 minutes into a game against Sheffield Wednesday. Seems like a lifetime away. but it's happening, and me and Kyle will be there. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks for you guys for doing it with me. If you like what we do, drop us your support on Patreon. We would love it. Newcastle are going to be class in 2023. Come and join us for that ride. It's been an absolute pleasure. Speak to you all soon. Bye-bye.